Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio. This is Dan and Stephanie Burke, and you have come to your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw on the wisdom of the saints, that we might be able to shine in the midst of a dark time because of Christ in us. We might be able to learn how to give ourselves more fully to Him and make sure we're in a place where we can help others, because it's a very tough time inside and outside of the church, and it's not going to get any better.
No.
Not short term. There's no indication of that. But it can get better in our hearts and in our minds, and we can be a light to others when we're healthy spiritually, and that's what this show is about.
That's right.
So I'm very excited to have Kathleen Beckman back again. We are very excited. She's not only a fantastic gift to the church, but she's also a good friend. We recommend everything she does. If her name's on it, you can assume our stamp of recommendation is on it. Today, we're talking again on a four-part series of her book, A Family Guide for Spiritual Warfare, to Spiritual Warfare, Strategies for Deliverance and Healing, published by an extraordinary publisher. If you want to know where you can get faithful books, Sophia Institute Press is amazing. The EWTN Religious Catalog is filled with their books because they're faithful. And we, of course, rely on them a lot. But Kathleen Beckman, to tell you just a tad about her, if you've been on the series, you know, she's the president and founder of the Foundation of Prayer for Priests, foundationforpriests.org. And I will say, if you're looking to support your parish priest, she has a specific program to do that, and that's the one we endorse. There are other good ones out there, but even in our community, this is the official program that we endorse to pray for priests. So she's been serving the church for over 25 years. For over a decade, she served on the diocesan exorcist team as the administrator of her diocesan exorcism and deliverance ministry in Orange, right, Kathleen?
Correct.
In Orange, California, under Bishop Van. Is that your bishop?
That's right.
Very good. So it's awesome that he's supporting you and all of the team and helping people to get free. There's a lot more to her bio, but what we want to do is get into the content of the book. And just if you've missed the first few interviews that we've had with Kathleen, you'll be able to find all those out on spiritualdirection.com. And we began with a webinar on the demonic, which I think people found really fascinating. That you can only find out there, I think. So
with Kathleen, leading up to this series,
yeah, absolutely. So today we're going to be talking about strategies, the three foundational strategies for spiritual warfare, and those strategies are scripture, the state of grace, and authority. So why don't we start, Kathleen, with state of grace as the first foundation? Tell us a bit about that, why it's so important. What it is, what I don't want to do, Kathleen, is assume Catholics even understand what that means. So maybe let's describe what it means to be in a state of grace, and then why it's such an important aspect of spiritual warfare.
Wonderful, thank you. It's a joy to really talk about this tripod, foundational tripod, because scripture, authority, and the state of grace has everything to do with our communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief exorcist. So these are the means by which we are connected, if you will, spiritually, so that we move in and through the Lord Jesus Christ when we are involved in intercessory prayer for our families, and especially deliverance and healing prayers for our families. So the state of grace provides a strong protection. And it's being absent from mortal sin. And so we are all sinners, and God has made a provision for that by giving us the sacrament of reconciliation. And so the catechism, and I quote this in the book, says that the state of the grace of Jesus Christ is the gratuitous gift that God makes to us of his own life, infused by the Holy Spirit into our soul to heal it of sin and to sanctify it. And that's from the catechism. So it is the sanctifying or deifying grace that we receive in baptism. And it is in us the source, the work of sanctification. So through our baptismal sacrament, that grace is within us to sanctify us, to keep us in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that becomes very foundational to be a spiritual warrior, because we want to, the demons recognize, I should say, that the demons recognize when we are in right communion and right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like in Mark's gospel, when the evil spirit cried out to the Lord, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? So the Jesus within each.
Hey friends, sorry about that. We were cut off. We're having some technology issues, but we're back. And one thing I wanted to mention, Kathleen, and just talk to you about the state of grace. People don't realize, I think, how powerful it is to be in a state of grace. Being in a state of grace means that we are connected to the life of God, right? We're living with God. We're in his plan and under his protection. It means fundamentally in that moment, we're saying yes to God at a very foundational and a level. Now, when we're out of a state of grace, I think it's really important for people to know, because they, you know, a lot of people think, well, I'm in mortal sin. I need to go to confession. No big deal. But it's way worse than that, because essentially the committing of a mortal sin has conditions, you know, as to the definition has to be grave, right? We have to have full knowledge and consent, and then we do it. And what that means is fundamentally when there's something about us in our life that is grave that God has commanded for our well-being and for relationship with him. And what we've said to exit the state of grace, if you will, is, no, I like the devil's plan better. I like my plan better. To hell with your plan. Forgive me for being, but I want to be firm. I want to be really blunt about right. this, so people sit up and pay attention. To heck with your plan, Lord. I'm doing it my way. I know it's wrong and I'm doing it anyway. When we do that, we're fundamentally then saying to the enemy, I like your plan. You're welcome in my life. So when you're in that state, that means you describe it, Kathleen. You could do a better job than me. But in terms of an exorcist and exorcism and spiritual warfare, what does that do with respect to the openness that where you are? How vulnerable, that's what I'm looking for, you are to the enemy in that when you're in mortal sin.
Mortal sin makes us extremely vulnerable to attacks of the evil spirits. I would say I liken it to being in the state of mortal sin is like, it's like honey to bees. You know, it just, it's, the evil spirits just they just zone into that mm-hmm. and they're attracted to it. It's almost like, oh, good, I can go here. And there's an opening here. And so it's not where we want to be. Because as you said, you know, through our life with Christ, through our baptismal, grace and sacrament, we've been plunged into the life of the Most Holy Trinity. So we are to move. I mean, that is no small thing. And the evil spirits recognize that when we're in communion with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, and with God the Father. And so when we're not, when we break that, with every sin, we're saying, we're choosing something other than God in that moment. We're preferring something other than God. And when we do that, we become very, very vulnerable to evil spirits. I will say that in the majority of the cases of deliverance and exorcism, it is because the person has said no to God they are in state of, I would say, a sinful lifestyle, mm-hmm. not just one sin, but a series of sins and a sinful lifestyle. And made them very vulnerable. It's hard then to be effective in casting out the evil spirits, and that's why they need the help of the church. And, you know, the church is so beautifully provided for that situation. So I want people to have hope that, you know, when you find yourself in a state of sin, to go to reconciliation, to the sacrament, but also if it's a sin lifestyle, those are the cases that come forward to the exorcist. And so the church can help you to be delivered, to be liberated from that oppressive lifestyle, because Jesus wants us to be set free from all of that and is always ready to welcome us back and to heal us.
Yeah, one of the things that comes to mind, and I really love the way Father Dennis McManus, who I know you know, and who has worked with us in the Summit and with our High Calling program, we just respect him so highly. But one of the ways he described it, he said, is when you are in a state of grace, you actually stink to the enemy. You're repulsive to them. And I love that because, you know, I remember back to when Dan and I served on a deliverance team, and, you know, we never sought it. That's not the kind of work that you or service to the church that you ever seek. But if you find yourself there, that one of the greatest lessons for me was that I had no interest in being outside of a state of grace, especially when I saw what being outside of a state of grace could do to a person, to their soul, to the torment of that soul and the difficulty they were having, the oppression that can come from it, the struggles against their own personal choices and the strength against sin, but also seeing that, knowing that the enemy could actually tell a priest or tell a person in that room what their sin was and to express it and expose you, they can smell it, they can see it, they know it. When you're not in a state of grace, you have stepped out of the protection of the Father, of the Blessed Trinity, and you are exposed. And they hone in on it, like you said, like bees to honey, or rather to, you know, flies to honey is what I would say.
Yes,
it's not bees. They're, you know, it's flies. It's much worse than that. It's just so important that we stay under the protection of Holy Mother Church, to whatever the church has prescribed, whether it's going to regular mass, reconciliation, receiving our Lord at least once a year, and that's the bare minimum per year. Yeah, and, you know, going to regular confession and living a holy lifestyle. We need to do those things. So after the break, we're going to come back and continue with this conversation with Kathleen Beckman
on the strategies. Yeah, spiritual warfare strategies. And we're working through the book. It's called A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare in a multi-part series. As always, head out to spiritualdirection.com to find past shows. And we'll be right back with Kathleen Beckman.
Hey friends, this is Dan Burke. If you are blessed by the work of Divine Intimacy Radio, if we've helped you with your spiritual life through spiritualdirection.com, or if you want to join in and change the world through the Avila Institute High Calling Program, where we're now forming men in more than 5 dioceses around the country to enter into seminary to be holy priests, please consider helping us out with a monthly donation. Go to avila-institute.org, click on the donate button, and give us a hand if you would.
If you've always wanted to delve into the richness of the spiritual lives of the saints, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers you the unique opportunity to learn more about Catholic spiritual theology through live, interactive online courses. Whether you are seeking personal enrichment, continuing education, or a graduate certificate in spiritual theology, the Avila Institute can help. Just go to www.avila-institute.com to start your spiritual journey today.
Welcome back. This is Dan and Stephanie Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest, talking with Kathleen Beckman in a really, really, really important book. Did I say it was really important? Did you hear me say
it's
that?
It's very important.
It's really important. It's A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, Strategies for Deliverance and Healing. And listen, if you're a husband or a wife who's got youngins and you're trying to lead them to heaven, this book is I think necessary in our time. We it is so necessary that we take this book with us to our events, and we don't have a whole lot of books that are not our own in terms of what we've written. So we really believe in it. We really believe in the work that Kathleen Beckman is doing. One thing, Kathleen, one last analogy I want to use for being in a state of grace is, we live in a city. You might never want to come over. I think you've been here, but we live in a city that where the per capita violent crime is one of the highest in the United States, right?
Wow.
And living in a state of mortal sin, illustration I get would be like living downtown in our city with your front door off the hinges, leaning to the side, and all of your windows open, and then going to bed at night expecting to have some kind of peace, right? Living in a state of venial sin, habitual venial sin, would be like, well, I got a front door, but my windows are open. You know, so we just don't want to leave those pathways for the enemy. Any last thoughts on this important strategy of staying in a state of grace?
I just want to encourage people to make every effort to frequent the confessional, because it is transformational, and confession is 100 times more powerful than the rite of exorcism, because it's a sacrament where the rite of exorcism is a sacramental. So sometimes when a person might feel diabolically vexed, oppressed, obsessed, or think they need to see an exorcist, in truth, the first thing that should happen is that you visit the confessional and speak to your priest, because that's a sacrament, and oftentimes that will remedy a majority of the issues. So the one thing I want to say also about being in the state of grace is that, you know, I mentioned in the book that it doesn't guarantee that the evil spirit won't attack you. Mm-hmm. And that's important, because there's a lot of people who are in the state of grace and walking with the Lord very closely who do actually get attacked by the evil spirit. It's just that you are then in a different environment. You're in the environment with the holy. You're walking with the Trinity. You're walking with Our Lady, with angels. So when the evil spirits, those fiery darts of the enemy come at you, you are protected. They're not going to pierce through your armor, and you have the holy ones walking with you to protect you. And so whatever trial the Lord will allow you, then it serves to sanctify you. It serves to bring you even closer and to help you even to be an intercessor for others who are going through spiritual demonic attacks. So it is good to note that it doesn't guarantee, being in the state of grace doesn't guarantee you won't be attacked, because you will. But you're in a completely different environment when you are walking in that state of grace, and you're in a much better position to proclaim Christ's victory.
Right, right. And the converse of that, or the converse of that, is that a right word?
I don't know.
Is that a correct word?
We'll see how you use it.
Would be that if you're not in a state of grace,
yeah,
then you are placing yourself at grave risk.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. So let's move on to the next strategy that you have listed here, and that's scripture. Why is scripture important? How is it important in spiritual warfare?
It's very, very important, because it is the living word of God. And it is the way that Jesus teaches us to respond to demonic attacks, right? When the Lord was tempted in the desert, how did he respond to the evil spirit? He responded by quoting scripture. And so he teaches us to do the same, that we should have scripture ready, and that should be our response. As Father Dennis McManus said at the Avila Summit last year, it is not God's intention that we who are walking with him would endure the fiery darts of the enemy all day long and be bombarded with these temptations that will come to us. And we are to be intentional about stopping and quoting scripture. You know, in the book, I give some examples. In Matthew 4:10, "Be gone, Satan." Often that's how I respond when I realize I am undergoing some sort of demonic vexation, temptation to discourage discouragement or to doubt, I will have to stop and say, "Be gone, Satan," and pray against those. And the same thing, like with Matthew 16:23, "Get behind me, Satan." These are scriptures that we can quote when the enemy is coming against us. Romans 8:37, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Being aware of this reality of the living Word of God, and having it permeate, become part of the fabric of who we are as disciples of Christ, serves us very well when we feel those fiery darts of the enemy coming against us, because we have these weapons of the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. They are real and they are effective. So it is good to memorize some of these scriptures, and I give you several in the book, to just be prepared for when those fiery darts come at you. But the Word of God is very effective. During the rite of exorcism, scripture is proclaimed, especially the prologue of John's Gospel. For some reason, that beautiful prologue, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God," that prologue is very powerful. The enemy has a strong reaction against the prologue of John's Gospel during the rite of exorcism. And then there are many other scriptures which are proclaimed during the rite of exorcism as part of the rite. And also, you know, the exorcist may turn to one of us on the team and say, "Will you read from such and such a scripture in the Bible?" And that is done during the exorcism. And it is very, very effective. So sometimes when I'm interceding for my family against demonic attacks, I will at home alone aloud pray some scripture. And it just feels like it, you know, you send out into the air, the spirits of the air, the Word of God to fill our domestic church. It's a beautiful and effective tool.
It is beautiful. And what, you know, what comes to mind is that scripture is alive, it's powerful, it's efficacious, it's living. It's not just words on a page. It's the Lord, right? And what came to mind is that, you know, when we, so say we go to confession and we sweep out, you know, as it were, the room of our house, we then need to fill it with scripture. And the Lord tells us, you know, scripture tells us that the blessed man meditates on the Lord, on the Lord's word day and night. And there's a reason for that. It's beautiful. It blesses us and it fills us with Him so that there's no room in our house, in our tabernacle of our soul, for the enemy to get in and to come to create havoc. So it's just such a powerful thing. It's important.
Yeah. One thing I use, Kathleen, I wonder, you can tell me I'm off track live if you want on the radio. I'm fine with that. But when I was a Protestant and I was struggling with oppression, I read James 4:7. It says, you know, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee." And so I thought, well, of course, the name of Jesus is powerful and scripture is powerful. So I would say, in the name of Jesus, the God who made you and will ultimately cast you into hell, that's in scripture, permanently, said that if I resist you, you must flee. So in Jesus' name, I command you, you know, get out of here, stop bothering me. How does that sound?
That sounds beautiful. And actually, that's very much like what I hear during the rite of exorcism from the exorcist, right? And so, and that's something that is taught to the energumen, or the person that's undergoing the process of deliverance and healing, that we want to give them the tools and the Word of God. Using the Word, just as you did, beautiful example, it's really so effective. And, you know, it's such a living Word that it frequently, when we stop and pray, whether it's in the liturgy of the hours or the liturgy of the day of the Mass, the scriptures that are there, it really is like a divine reset to us. It really helps to refocus us away from the world and toward God. And that's very effective for the armor of God. And it thwarts the enemy's plans for us. And he knows the truth. You know, he when we say that, like you said, the command, "If I resist you, you must flee," he knows that to be true, and he honors that.
Great. So we need to go to our next strategy. So the final one that you have listed is authority. And the first thing that comes to mind to me is in the many conversations that I've had with beautiful women through direction is the importance of authority in the family and in staying under the protection of the relationship with our husbands, because that way we stay protected from the enemy. When we stay in that, when we step out from that and we try to, you know, control and have issues and that kind of thing, we actually open a door to the enemy, into our marriages and into our lives. So in the minute and a half that we have left, can you explain to us the importance of authority when it comes to protecting ourselves?
It is absolutely vital that we realize, and this is much stressed in the book, that we are endowed with authority from God through our baptism. And then there's a very special endowment of authority regarding spousal authority and parental authority. And it is foundational for us to realize that if exercise this authority according to God's will, then we become extremely effective as prayer warriors and against the enemy who comes against us. So that authority, now the spousal authority in the divine order and structure of the Lord, because we have a God of order, the husband has been set as the authority figurehead for the family and for the wife. The wife has a sacramental, through the sacrament of matrimony, the wife has a sacramental mantle of authority to pray deliverance prayers and to pray blessings over her husband. So this whole economy of authority is very vital, so much so that I have heard the evil spirits cry out if somebody is outside of that authority.
We're gonna have you back and really focus in depth, I think, on authority and then families and talk a little bit more about it. And that's the end of our show. Thanks for being with us again, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Okay, until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.